This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. InVin Global Esports reporter James Hong is going to join me to talk about League of Legends Patch 8.10, the mid-seasonal invitational, and the new champion, Pyke. Thanks for joining me, James.
All right, thanks for having me.
Now, I know I didn't get a chance to speak with you about Patch 8.9, but there was a lot of changes towards mages. What was the reasoning behind that?
The reasoning behind why they changed, or, you know, in other words, readjusted mages, mana, and the items in general towards them is because it's very straightforward of how you really play a mana-oriented mage in mid-game to, like, early to mid-game, as I should say. Just because of, you know, you start with Doran's Ring, you go to lane, and you pretty much, it's more mana efficient to use your spells on minions because the Doran's Ring actually gets mana back for every minion you kill. So it really incentivizes you to push the lane mindlessly, and, you know, you shouldn't really trade that much with the enemy champion since you don't get mana back early game. So it really didn't make the lane really interactive. You either get shoved in or you shove the opponent. So in order to fix this, they changed some of the mana items, and especially Doran's Ring, to make it so that, you know, both options are appearing now, right? You can push the lane if you want, you know, that's fine mana-wise, and if you want to trade with the enemy champion, that's fine also, which, you know, I believe is a very healthy change. It makes the mid lane much more exciting and fun to play, and, you know, less boring as well.
Now, in your opinion, how do you think the new Unsealed spellbook has been working out?
I actually really, really love the new change to Unsealed Spellbook. I think it's a fantastic. For an example, I don't know if you saw, but there's this video that's going viral right now on YouTube and on Reddit. There's an Alistar on the other side of the Baron, and Alistar changes his summoner spells for Smite on the last second and flashes into the pit and steals the Baron, right, as a support Alistar. And that's kind of the new dynamic that has been introduced by this change, which I think is wonderful. Instead of being very preemptive and locked down on your choices for which spells you want to take, it really, you know, determines in teamfights, oh, I need to get out of combat to have this spell so I can do this in a teamfight. It really opens up a lot of avenues for a lot of plays and a lot of possibilities, which I think is amazing. So I think it's a very healthy change.
All right, so in the upcoming patch 8.10, we're seeing some more changes for Azir. How many times are they going to keep changing this guy?
Hopefully this will be the last one.
What exactly are they changing then?
Essentially, they're changing some of his damage onto his ultimate, so it does more damage, and it gives him more attack speed, and his soldiers do a lot more DPS, but less burst-orientated, because his soldiers do less damage the more they hit. So they're essentially really power-shifting where his essential power came from in the lane phase with his Q and W poke to later on with his ultimate and his attack speed and his DPS and team fighting. So overall, I think it's a very nice idea and direction to put Azir into. And as I said earlier, hopefully this will be the last change, but I highly doubt it just because Azir's kit in general is just allows him to do everything that any other champion wants to do, but in a much easier and more effective way.
Now, another champion that's getting big changes is Ryze. Could you explain that one?
Oh, boy. So Ryze is also getting a change again, same with Azir. And just before I go into the Ryze changes, you know, it's kind of funny how Azir and Ryze, except for a few patches here and there, they've been, you know, up in the meta ever since their release or ever since some of their rework. I'm really curious on how this direction or this change that Riot has implemented for patch 8.10, if they're going to get changed later or if they're going to stay in that final state. But going into the Ryze change, so what they said is they didn't want to make Ryze a very mindless, spam-heavy, combo-oriented kind of champion. They want to make players really think about how they want to do his spell rotation, how they want to do trades in certain situations and whatnot. And in order to do this, they changed his combo. So his combo is orientated around his damage on his Q. And his W no longer costs mana, but it doesn't root unless a debuff of his E is already put onto the enemy. So it really gives a lot of reward to skilled players when, you know, when to root, when not to root, when to combo in with his Q, etc. So I'm excited to see how these changes finalize and see how Rice is really going to be. But I think this is a good direction for him.
What's happening to Zion? I see that they're going to be changing him around too.
So with Zion, it is a nerf slightly, but I feel like it's a very healthy and good nerf actually. So they removed the passes on his E, where if you hit anyone with your E, enemies that are knocked back take 30% additional bonus damage. And instead of having an ability that really, you know, you just mindlessly fling out and bam, it does 30% extra damage, now it only reduces the enemy's armor and increases the armor reduction duration. So essentially what this does is instead of shooting out your E and saying, hey, just kill this guy, he takes 30% additional damage, now you really need to think of what damage you really want to put onto that target. Since it's just armor reduction now, you need to, you know, tell your AD casters or ADCs to really say, hey, you need to attack this guy at this period of time to do the most effective amount of damage, instead of your entire team just, like, you know, throwing spells and damage into the way. So I think it's a very intelligent and healthy change. I really like it.
Yeah, it's going to need a lot of communication between you and your team if you play Sion then.
Most definitely.
Are there any champions that are going to get buffs this patch?
A lot of interesting buffs, I would say, such as Bard is getting buffed, but it is not the buff that you really thought would happen. So his W, which is the little shrine that, you know, heals up your allies after a certain period of time, the mana cost has been decreased from all ranks from 90 to 70, which is, you know, huge in the early game, right? Because ever since, you know, Bard was released, he will put down a W and then half of his mana is gone. And he would have to either, you know, go back and get some mana back, or either roam around, get his chime to get some mana back, which really alleviated a lot of the pressure that Bard really brings into the early game in the laning phase. Mm-hmm. So this is actually a very hidden, nice buff then, but I really don't think you know, Bard is going to see a lot or even a slight increase in play. I think this doesn't really change that much to Bard, but it is still a nice buff. And another buff that was kind of weird to me was the Poppy gut buff, and her base movement speed increased by 5. And, I mean, there's not much to say in this buff, just because I believe it's a placebo buff where, I mean, it's seems like a, you know, oh crap, you know, she got early movement speed, she can roam more, she can go to lane faster, she can trade faster, but in essence, she already has utilities such as her E, which is a long-range dash, and her W, which initially already gives her movement speed. Yeah, so overall, I don't believe that she'll see increased play. I think they really need to buff her other mechanisms a little bit more, maybe her Q or W or even E, to make her really viable into even high elo or competitive.
Now, are there any other champions that are going to be changed?
So, other than Sion, Zac and Dr. Mundo actually got changed. Mm. So, starting off with Dr. Mundo, his ultimate cooldown got increased for all ranks, but the cost of his current health that he needs to pay in order to activate his ultimate got decreased to 25% at all ranks. And I believe this is a very interesting change in the aspect that the cooldown increase is tremendous. It's, you know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, then 20 seconds at max rank, which is huge. But if you think about it, Mundo already has in his build a lot of cooldown reduction anyway. So if you count it down, you know, mathematically, it really isn't that big of a change. Maybe, you know, 7 to 8 seconds of a difference. So in essence, if Mundo, you know, continues his build path and builds cooldown reduction, the cooldown, you know, nerf is actually not that bad. And the current health cost to activate his ultimate is, you know, huge. So maybe we'll see, you know, Dr. Mundo in the jungle or top lane every now and then, but I don't think he'll, you know, see a lot more increased play. Same with Poppy. I believe he needs, you know, a bit more tweaks for him to see a bit more play. And in regards to Zac, overall, his E and his R got increased in AP ratio by a lot, from 70% to 90%, right, which is huge. But the interesting thing is that his W, Unstable Matter, no longer adds 2% of bonus maximum health damage every 100 AP he has. So, essentially, he really nerfed the full AP Zac users that really wanted to burst people down with the percentage health damage. But, I mean, they compensated that for his E and R damage. So, I really not sure what direction they really want Zach to be at right now, because when Zach is played at the most efficient level, he's played as a very beefy tank initiator. So we'll see how this change really turns out in patch 8.10 and maybe in the future patches. Maybe Zach will come back into the meta with a fight off tank kind of build. Who knows?
Now, one of the things I noticed with this patch is the items. There are so many items that are being changed, buffed, and nerfed. Is there anyone that sticked out that, like, man, this is really significant?
The three item changes that I'm actually really, really excited about, the Warding Trinket, the new item, Storm Razor, and also the Hunter's Machete. So let me talk about a bit more of Hunter's Machete. So they increased the bonus damage to monsters by 10 from 25 to 35, which is huge. But they've removed the bonus attack speed. So when you first look at it, you'll see that it's a tremendous nerf, right? Like, oh, 10 damage is not that much. I lose all the attack speed I gain. Why would I go this item? But when you run down champions that actually build Hunter's Machete, you have champions like, you know, Lee Sin or other champions that really have some attack speed built into their kit. Same with Trundle as well, who loves to go Hunter's Machete. And Trundle is also into the meta right now just because there's so many tanks. I mean, it is a nerf, but for people who build Hunter's Machete, it really doesn't matter that much. And the bonus damage goes so far into early clear. So I believe that Hunter's Machete actually got an immense buff this patch. And talking about the warding trinket, it's interesting because they've increased the duration of the ward, of how long it lasts, but they changed the cooldown so it takes longer to recharge. Or in essence, you know, there's a longer time period when you have to place a ward again. I actually like this change because it rewards more experienced players and really punishes less experienced players, I would say, just because more experienced players know what timing they should ward. For example, you know, 2:35 is when usually the jungler goes for the level 3 gank, right? So more experienced players will put down the ward at that exact time, and they'll get a lot more coverage of vision to stay safe. While other players who are, you know, maybe not that experienced may lose the timing, you know, place it too early or place it too late, and their recharge will tick down faster or slower depending on the situation. So it really, you know, incentivizes players to really learn, you know, when to ward or when not to ward. So I think it's a very healthy change to really incentivize players to learn when, you know, when you should ward, when or what areas are most important at warding, which is, you know, essentially the 101 of League of Legends, right? It's just vision. Vision wins the game. So I think it's a fantastic change. And lastly, regarding to Storm Razor, I when I first looked at this item, I didn't think it was real. As in, it's just so good. Like, you get 65 AD, which is a lot of AD. And then you get 25 attack speed, which is awesome. And then there's two unique passes. So first one is, if you haven't attacked in the last 2.5 seconds, your next basic attack will critically strike. So that's already a 2.5, you know, amplifier of your damage right there. And then the second pass is, when you critically strike, gain 25% bonus attack speed and 8% movement speed for 1.5 seconds. So this pretty much, you know, tells you, so, okay, I build IE first item, I build an attack speed item for my second item, and then maybe a third defensive item, then it goes straight to Storm Razor, and, you know, the build's done. You get so much attack speed, you get so much AD, and you're already going to crit anyway with your crit build, so when you put this guy in, you already up your DPS with 50%, you know, additional attack speed with the movement speed on it. So, I mean, it's just an item that fits right into the meta right now. I just love it.
Now, with Storm Razor, do you think it's going to be exclusive to just, like, AD carries?
I believe it's going to be only for assassins and ADCs. Mm. When I say assassin, it's just because they don't really care about the 25 attack speed that you gain when you critically strike as much. But the most important thing is, as an assassin, you're already, you know, waiting in a bush or waiting for your moment to really, you know, one-shot or assassinate the backline, right? And that 2.5 seconds really isn't that much time for you when you already want to, you know, prep your combo or make sure your Dustblade is, you know, off cooldown so you do that additional damage with it, plus the movement speed. So it's really a go-to item for champions like Talon. Like, Zed is fantastic, too. Just assassins and ADCs are probably the champions that are going to use this the most effectively.
For this patch, can we expect any rune changes?
Oh, yeah, there's so many room changes. So there's a few that have really caught my eye, which is Perfect Timing, Indigenous Hunter, and Bone Plating. So pretty much, if I want to run it down, Bone Plating got nerfed again from 20 to 40 damage blocks from 15 to 40, which I think is a healthy change, just because if you're a mid laner, if you're even a support and a top laner, you always go Bone Plating because it's a no-brainer, right? Mm-hmm. Anything that reduces damage taken, you take it. So I think it's a very nice change. I'm happy to see it. I always hate versing someone who has Bone Plating on my lane, and I don't, because I feel like it's almost unwinnable, which is really unrealistic to think when, you know, it's not even a keystone, but it's a small, you know, rune or mastery that really determines how the lane phase is going to go. So I think that's a good change there. And secondly, Indigenous Hunter got changed where the active item cooldown reduction got increased from 10% to 15%. But in order to compensate for this, the additional CDR per stat has been decreased by 1% from 6 to 5. Now, when I look at this, I don't really mind the decrease per stat. What's important is that the baseline for what you get has been increased by 5%, which is huge, right? So instead of really relying on kills in the early game to really stack up that CDR reduction that you get from your item cooldown, now you know, flat out start with 15%. So you don't really rely on snowballing the early game to really make, you know, effective of this rune, which I think is, you know, a fantastic change. I really liked how Riot was going with this idea of item cooldown reduction, and I'm just waiting to see if a lot of other champions are going to pick this up now, just because it's an immense buff. And lastly, Perfect Timing is, you know, in essence, a rune that gives you a free stopwatch, and they nerfed it up to 10 minutes, but 10 minutes is such a long time that almost, you know, no one takes it. It's just unplayable. So I believe Riot realized this and decided to, you know, turn it down a notch and decrease it to 8 minutes now. I'm not really convinced that it will still a lot of play. Maybe in a couple of matchups and maybe, you know, in a couple of champions, but I still don't see stopwatch being played as much, but it's nice to see that Riot sees that they overnerfed the rune a little bit.
Pike is a new character that Riot is getting out. So they claim it's a support character. I just don't see it. To me, he seems more assassin. What do you think?
When I first looked at his champion, I thought the same thing as you, right? How is this guy a support? He has, you know, he seems like he has so much damage, so much mobility. But then when you really look into his skills, he has really, you know, no burst when it comes to dealing with champions who are 100%. Right, he only has execution abilities and really CC. And when it comes to wave clear, such as, you know, going top lane for the wave clear, going mid lane, and even going jungle for the jungle camp, he really only has his Q for AoE, which, you know, is on a relatively long cooldown, and it doesn't do that much cleave. So from his kit aside, like, I don't believe he can be actually played in the jungle as effectively as he can support. So I believe that's how they kind of centered around this guy should be a support, just because of how they designed his kit.
You know, I was watching some gameplay and I thought to myself, this champion looks like a roamer. I know people are going to be pinging like crazy, like, where's Pike? Where's Pike? I see this guy jumping from lane to lane to lane, helping to secure kills, and his R just is going to help that, because most of the time at top lane, I don't like when people come up top because you're trying to take my kill. I really need it.
Yeah.
But if it's Pike, I'm going to say, hey man, come up brother. I don't mind if you help me out with this kill, especially so far, like if it's early game, I really wouldn't mind that help. But to see it as pure support, I don't know. I'm a little excited to see how it's going to go, because I feel it in my heart of hearts that so many people are going to try to play Pike as jungle. I don't know if it's going to work or not.
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about, you know, him not working as jungle, but, you know, contrary to what I've said, I'm going to try him as jungle as well, you know, just to see, right?
Yeah, everybody's going to do it. I'm going to try him at top, so it's okay. Another thing I was really excited about was the mid-season invitationals, the MSI. Did you watch any of the matches?
Yeah, of course. I watched all the matches. I love watching MSI.
One of the matches I was really, really looking forward to was Team Liquid, because, you know, they're the NACL. They're our champions, right? These are our champions here. And I wanted them to do well because they just dominated, you know, the U.S. So when they went against Kingzone, I was really disappointed because it made us look a little free. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but agree with you where, you know, TL really didn't perform as, you know, everyone's expectations were so high because they completely demolished the NA scene.
Yeah.
But I believe it really comes down to really two factors that came into play where TL underperformed to some extent. Just because, you know, Team Liquid, it's their first time ever winning an NA Finals and going into MSI, right? So, first of all, they don't have any international experience at all.
Mm.
You know, they might have a few from every, you know, from there to there, but they don't have as much as, you know, other established teams such as Fnatic or Flashfuls or RNG, right? So when they really go up to these, you know, god-like teams who have been in the scene for so long, it's really hard for them to really contest because they just don't have the international experience. And then second point is, which leads, you know, connects onto my first point, is that because they don't have any international experience, they can't help but be nervous, right? In an interview with Doublist, actually, in recently, with Travis, Doublist stated that, you know, the practice and the scrims went really, really well, and they were really hyped for their performances at MSI, but things really didn't go as planned because Doublist said when they made one mistake, it just, you know, all came crumbling down because of the pressure and, you know, the stage and everything like that. So it's just really, you know, their first international performance. They don't have that much experience, so that all comes down to them underperforming. But fortunately, TL did beat RNG, so it's kind of up in there.
Yeah, right? One of the things that I wanted to see how it was going to work was Team Liquid kind of does this, the tank meta, and Kingzone, I was like, no way anybody's going to get through all the tanks that they have. And they just, my God, every play, they just divided and conquered, and that's how they ended up winning a lot of the fights, the team fights, or they would just split push, which I was like, why didn't I think of that? Now, are there any other memorable highlights from the MSI that you can think of?
Oh, I have so many. So the one that I can think of from the top of my head is just a bunch of Uzi outplays, right? That guy on ADC is just insane. Like, there was a recent play the other day where Peanut was on Grave, and he was going to launch his ultimate. And Uzi, predicting this, actually ulted as Kai'Sa to sidestep the ulti, which was just amazing to see. And some of the other highlights are, you know, Bruxa from Fnatic jungle and Xpiffy from Team Liquid jungle having both Baron steel. Those were just amazing to watch.
Now, there was another highlight for me was someone picking Yasuo. What did you think of that? Did you ever think that was actually going to work in a pro's hand?
I had my suspicions, right? I know Yasuo is a really good pick in this meta right now just because of his fantastic scaling, his split pushing, and his 1v1. But I really didn't expect them to really, you know, pick it at MSI. But I'm glad that they did just because, you know, one, it's fun to watch because everyone wants to play Yasuo as good as the pros, right? And then two, you really want to see how Yasuo fits into, you know, the international stage, not just regional, but to see, you know, if a European team picks Yasuo, how is a Korean team going to react to that? How is a Chinese team going to react to that? So it was really fun to see the dynamic of the regions clashing together with the Yasuo pick.
Absolutely. Well, James, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. And for those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You know, it's always a pleasure coming on to this show. I love talking about League of Legends. And to anyone listening, if you guys love League of Legends or games in general, make sure you guys, you know, check out InventGlobal.com. It's, you know, where I work at. It's where I write about. It's where, you know, I live pretty much. So, yeah, make sure you check it out. We have a lot of communities there. It's fun to participate. We have, a lot of cosplays, things like that. Just pretty much anything and everything you love about games. So just check it out.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.